take your copy of God's Word, be finding your place in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to look at verses 11 through 18 in just a minute or two, and we'll read the text together. But American culture, if you think about it, down through the years, American culture has known its fair share of people who've come along and they've done crazy things to get the attention of people. I mean, really. Now, there are television shows like America's Got Talent just to prove this point, that there is no shortage of people who are willing to do crazy, outlandish things just to garner 15 minutes of fame. I heard the story about a guy here a while back, true story, of a guy by the name of Plenty Wingo in the early days of Depression-era America. Plenty Wingo was a man who was determined that he would earn some fame for himself, maybe even cash in on some fortune. He had been hit hard by the Great Depression, and when a local bank took his small restaurant in Abilene, Texas, Plenty Wingo found himself penniless and had nowhere to turn. And so after a few months of really struggling to try to feed his family, Wingo decided it was time for him to do something out of the ordinary, something that he hoped would recapture the spirit of optimism that he had lost. And so he came up with this crazy idea that he would walk around the world backwards. In fact, last year there was a journalist for the Tampa Bay Times by the name of Ben Montgomery who wrote and tells the story in a book that he wrote about Plenty Wingo. Name of the book is called The Man Who Walked Backwards. The tagline of the book is what really got my attention. An American dreamer searching for meaning in the Great Depression. And so he thought that he would find meaning by walking backwards around the world. He thought that he could perhaps cash in on the crazy idea, maybe secure some endorsements for himself, maybe even write a book. And so equipped with only a walking cane and a pair of sunglasses that, I kid you not, had rearview mirrors attached to the sides, Plenty Wingo decided that he would walk around the world backwards. And so he set out walking backwards from Fort Worth, Texas, April 15th, 1931. He made it to Boston. Then he set sail for Germany. And while he was walking backward through Europe, he was detained at the Turkish border, and they thought he was crazy, and so they sent him back home. But that didn't deter him. When his plan for walking around the world backwards failed, he just decided to walk across the continental United States backwards. So he set out from Santa Monica, made it to Fort Worth, and eventually made it to the East Coast. In 1976, he was a guest on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, and when he was asked why he did it all, listen to his reasoning. He said, "With the whole world going backwards, I figured that maybe the only way to see it was to turn around." With the whole world going backwards, I thought that maybe the only way to see it was to turn around. Now, have you ever felt like you were living in a backwards world? An upside-down world, a world in which things seem so opposite from the way that they ought to be. Well, here in Ecclesiastes, I imagine that King Solomon felt this way when he described what he had observed under the sun, life under the sun. And in spite of all of his wisdom, in spite of all of his knowledge, he admits in Ecclesiastes that he still couldn't figure out why things happened the way that they did. And really, Ecclesiastes serves as his journal. Later on in life, he's looking back and reflecting on all that he had pursued, all that he had observed under the sun, and he writes about it here in these 12 chapters. So if you got your Bible there, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, let me ask you to stand with me as we read this text together. In chapters 8 and 9, Solomon has been talking about wisdom. And the fact that we need wisdom to be able to navigate the challenges of life in the world, but man's wisdom comes up short. We need true wisdom from God. And so really, notice in verse 11, really through the end of chapter 9, how Solomon describes life in a backwards world. He says, "Again, I saw that under the sun, The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly comes upon them. I've also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might. Though a poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard, the words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. In these verses, I believe that Solomon describes life in a backwards world. And so I want to preach to you from that thought this morning. Our Father, I pray that you speak in a powerful way into our hearts and lives. And God, as we bow this morning, we know that there are many grieving families in El Paso, Texas, Dayton, Ohio. Lord, where once more we're reminded that we truly do live in a backwards world, a world in which things are not the way they ought to be because of sin. And the only hope is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, my prayer is that you would heal the hearts of those who are grieving. Somehow, some way, may it be an opportunity for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that your church would shine bright in a time when our culture and our society needs to hear true wisdom. So, Lord, I pray that you give me words as I preach today. May we hear, may we respond for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. While it's certainly true that we need wisdom to navigate the challenges of life, it's also true that wisdom doesn't guarantee us a pain-free life. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking somehow, perhaps, wisdom will deliver them from life's pressures, from life's struggles, when in reality it doesn't. Even the wise and godly still live in a world that's backwards, a world that is broken, a world that's marred by the effects of sin. And I've told you this, but Ecclesiastes really emphasizes what life is like in a fallen world, perhaps better than any other book of the Bible. Solomon writes from the perspective of life under the sun. If all you have to go on is trying to find meaning in life strictly on the basis of what you find under the sun, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, you'll never find meaning. Nothing will ever make sense. And for that reason, we need wisdom beyond the sun. We need God's wisdom to navigate the challenges of life. And so God's wisdom will lead you into joy. It will lead you into peace, even in the midst of life's pressures. Not in the absence of life's pressures, but right smack dab in the middle of them. And that's the message of Ecclesiastes. And so the preacher tells us here in chapter 9 that in a backwards world, at least three things are always true. Number one, the first thing he says is true is this. In a backwards world, life is unpredictable. Life is unpredictable. You'll remember that in the first half of chapter 9, Solomon has considered the inevitability of death. Now, in the last half of chapter 9, he considers the unpredictability of life. And really, it's his way of saying that, you've heard this, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And we have a general idea of what's in store, but none of us can truly predict what's just around the bend, which is why Proverbs 27 says, don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. I heard the story of a man in the state of Connecticut. His name was Don Peters. November 1st, 2008, he bought two lottery tickets. He had done the same thing for the previous 20 years. Well, on that day, as it turned out, one of those tickets was worth $10 million. Now, before you think that's great, you need to know that he wasn't as lucky as you might think. On the very same afternoon that he won the jackpot, Don Peters had a massive heart attack that claimed his life. We hear about this kind of thing all of the time. In fact, on a smaller scale, I'm pretty sure that this type of thing has happened to you, where you have thought life was going in one direction when suddenly, out of the blue, things take a hard turn to the left or a sharp turn to the right. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's counsel, it's the Lord's purposes that always prevail. And so life is unpredictable. And because of this, real wisdom recognizes that I must never boast in my plans, because something out of the blue can always happen and turn my life upside down. And so you'll notice there in the text, verse 11, the preacher describes the backwards, unpredictable nature of life under the sun. Look at what he says there. He says that the swiftest are not always rewarded. He says, I saw under the sun that the race is not always to the swift. In a backwards world, you can be the best athlete on the field, and yet you can still come in second or third place. That's why preseason polls, I never want my team to be preseason number one, because it just puts a target on their back. It never fails when the Tar Heels, basketball season, they come out of the gate, preseason number one, sooner or later, early in the season, they fall, right? The underdog always wants to take out those that are on top. And so Solomon's saying, I'm looking around in the world, and you can be the swiftest, you can be the fastest, and the race doesn't always go to those who were the fastest. And then he says, the strongest are not always renowned. There in verse 11, he says, the battle doesn't always go to the strongest. The one with the biggest arsenal, the one with the most troops, doesn't always come out on top. Man, the Persians learned this firsthand in August of 480 when King Leonidas and his 300 Spartans held off a vast army of Persians that numbered more than 150,000 at a little mountain pass called Thermopylae. And so the strongest doesn't always win the battle. The fastest doesn't always win the race. And then he says the smartest isn't always remembered. Look there in verse 11 as he goes on and says, I notice that bread doesn't always go to the wise, riches to the intelligent, favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. So conventional wisdom looks at all of this under the sun. Conventional wisdom says the fastest wins the race, the strongest secures the victory, the smartest gets ahead. But conventional wisdom often forgets that we live in a very backwards world, a world that's fallen, a world that's impacted by the effects of sin. And Solomon takes all of this into consideration, and he says time and chance happen to them all. That word time there refers to the seasons of life. It's his way of once again confronting us with the frustration of life in a fallen world. Ordinarily, we would expect things to go well for the one who has strong ability. But the preacher says here that having speed, having strength, having smarts, this is no real guarantee of success, because time is always working against us. And those who place their confidence in their own speed, in their own strength, in their own smarts, they'll always come up disappointed. And he mentions chance there in the verse. Chance, he's not simply referring to fate. That's not what this means. It's a word that refers to something that we encounter on the path of life. It's a circumstance, a situation that happens over which we have no control. Literally, Solomon is saying that the problem in a backwards world is time and an incident. Time and an incident. Even the swiftest sprinter can trip and fall and forfeit the race. Even the strongest soldier can make one wrong move and forfeit the battle. Even the smartest student can fail to see something coming and forfeit the test or the exam. And so the point is, we had better not place our confidence in something that is so unpredictable. I'd better not place my confidence in my speed. I'd better not place my confidence in my strength. I'd better not place my confidence in my own smarts, my own intellect. You say, okay, well, what do we place our confidence in a backwards world? Listen, King David said this. A king's not saved by his great army. A warrior's not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its might, it cannot rescue. Psalm 147, the Lord's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. And so because life is so unpredictable, I need to place my trust, my confidence, my faith in something that's solid. And conventional wisdom says that salvation comes through strength that relies upon self-effort, but gospel wisdom says that it comes through a weakness that renounces all self-effort. I can't save myself. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough, fast enough. My hope is in a Savior. So in a backwards world, life is always unpredictable. And then notice secondly, in a backwards world, Solomon says that trouble is unforeseen. Life is unpredictable. Trouble is unforeseen. We're all subject to time and chance. That means that our circumstances can change on the turn of a dime. And the point that he makes there in verse 12, who knows when trouble will arrive on the scene and wreak havoc on all of our plans? And so trouble, it's unforeseen. How is this the case? Well, you'll notice there in verse 12, he says that it's hidden. Man does not know his time. Like fish taken in an evil net, birds caught in a snare. He's using two illustrations from nature here to describe the hidden nature of trouble. If fish and birds realized that they were headed for disaster, they would have gone in the opposite direction. But by the time this hidden trap was sprung, it's too late. And the idea here is that none of us can anticipate the time of trouble. Now, here's the thing. We know in a general sense that trouble comes in a fallen world. You know, I've heard it said this way, everybody I know are in one of three categories. They're either in trouble, they've been in trouble, or they're fixing to get in trouble. And that's just the way that it is. So we know that we live in a fallen world, things go wrong, plans go awry, and yet it always still takes us by surprise when it comes. So generally, I know that trouble's on the horizon, but specifically, no. And that's what Solomon is getting at here. Like fish taken in a net, birds caught in a trap, hidden trouble has a way of happening. We never see it coming, and often it always catches us off guard. So it's hidden, and then he says it's sudden. Even so, the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. And trouble suddenly comes. You never know when it's just around the corner. I mean, you could be in the prime of life and feel like you're on top when suddenly a pain in your body turns out to be an advanced stage of cancer. Or you can be in the best financial position of your life when suddenly the markets crash and all of your savings are gone. Or you can make quick trip to Walmart to pick up a few things on a slow Saturday morning, maybe some back-to-school supplies for your kids, when suddenly you find yourself the random target of a crazed gunman. We saw this very thing happen yesterday in El Paso. It's one of the most horrifying, yet one more example of life in a backwards world. And by the way, there are no answers for this kind of thing from the world. Human wisdom can't explain the depravity of the human heart. And the answer is not simply social reform. Let me tell you, the answer is heart change. And that can only happen through the gospel power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and the gospel is still the only hope of salvation for a fallen world, a backwards world. And folks, the good news is you and I have been entrusted with that message. It's why we need to shine forth gospel light. We need to be salt, light, witnesses. Because the world has no answers. And so trouble, it comes, it's often hidden, it's often sudden. James says it this way in James chapter 4, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a town, we'll spend a year there and trade and make a profit." And then he says, "But you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes." Our lives are so brief, we're like the morning mist that's here one moment, gone the next. And for that reason, James says you ought to live this way. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. If the Lord wills, we will live. Now that doesn't mean we need to stop making plans. I'm all for planning. I think it's unwise to go through life without making any plans. But it does mean that ultimately our planning is done out of humility that always bows to divine sovereignty. Many are the plans in a man's heart. But we need to keep the perspective and the humility that says, you know what? My life is subject to the will of Almighty God. He's the one who's in charge. In a backwards world, life is unpredictable. Trouble is unforeseen. And that's why the Bible tells me to expect the unexpected. When the day of trouble comes, I should not be surprised. No matter how gifted you are, no matter how prepared you are, no matter how many advantages you've had in life up until this point, the time will come when you too will face trouble head on. You know, a lot of people forget that life is not always Instagrammable. You know what I'm talking about? Just this cozy, picture-perfect understanding of life. What Solomon is telling us here in this passage is that there are just some things in life you just can't Instagram. There are no filter. There's no filter to be able to take out the wrinkles. You ever heard the candor of someone who's just experienced the unforeseen? And I've heard it as a pastor. And sometimes a person will say something like this, you know, I never thought that that could happen to me. The people lose their jobs all the time, but just not me. I never thought it could happen to me. People get cancer all the time, but I never thought it could happen to me. People lose their loved ones all of the time. I just never thought that it would happen to me. I never thought it would happen to me. Listen, sooner or later, trouble knows where to find you. Job said it this way, man who's born of woman is but few days and full of trouble. He comes out like a flower and he withers, he flees like a shadow and continues not. And someone says, all right, preacher, I get the fact that life is unpredictable. I understand trouble is unforeseen. What do I do about it? I mean, how do I live with the uncertainty that something bad could come my way at any time? For some of us, it's a constant cause of fear and worry. You can go through life worrying about what might happen. And some people, that's the way that they respond to the unpredictable nature of life, the unforeseen circumstances of life. Other people take a different approach, and they're tempted to give up altogether. And they think, well, there's nothing I can do but just resign myself to fate. If the race isn't always to the swift, then why run at all? If the battle's not always won by the strong, then why prepare at all? If getting smarter will not get you ahead, then why bother even developing your mind? Those are two opposite extremes, both of which should be avoided. Time and chance happens to all, but the wisdom of God realizes that it's always subject to His will. Karma is not a biblical concept. Maybe popular in secular culture, but it's not a biblical concept. All things are in the hands of an all-wise, all-knowing, ever-present God. Even the terrible things that we can't explain. Don't think for one second that it's beyond the control and the wisdom of God. So in a backwards world, life is unpredictable. Trouble is unforeseen. But I want you to notice one final truth that the preacher gives here, and it's this. Wisdom is undervalued. Life is unpredictable in a backwards world. Trouble is unforeseen. You never know what's just around the corner. But wisdom is often undervalued. Solomon makes the point here at the close of chapter 9 that there is a wisdom that can handle the unpredictable nature of life, but it's a wisdom that goes ignored. It's a wisdom that's often undervalued. He gives an example of wisdom there beginning in verse number 13. You'll notice that he tells the story of something that he had seen firsthand under the sun. And he tells the story of a little city with a few men in it. I mean, it's the type of place that we would refer to as a one-horse town. I mean, the type of town that didn't even have a McDonald's. When you punched it in the coordinates of Google Maps, it didn't even show up on Google Maps. Just an out-of-the-way, remote kind of place with few people living there. At some point, a powerful king came against this little town with a vast army, and he laid siege to this town. And the citizens of this town were vastly outnumbered. They were outgunned. And conventional wisdom says, well, it seems that all hope is lost. And yet, in the city, there happened to be a poor wise man. And Solomon says that it was by his wisdom that he delivered the city from its troubles. After a turn of events like that, you would think that this poor man would be celebrated. You would think that he would be given a statue of honor, perhaps, in the town square. Maybe a banquet held in his honor. Maybe a position of recognition by the townspeople. But that's not what happens at all. You'll notice there in verse 15 that Solomon says no one remembered the poor man. By his wisdom, he delivered the city, but his wisdom was undervalued and he was forgotten. Kind of reminds me of Joseph there in the prison. When you had Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and Pharaoh's chief baker, they were both there in prison with Joseph. They had dreams. Joseph interpreted the dreams. The chief baker was hung. The chief cupbearer was restored to a place of prominence in Pharaoh's court, but he forgot all about Joseph. And Joseph had to stay in the prison for 2 more years before his time would eventually come. That's what this kind of reminds me of here. In fact, some have even suggested that you could interpret this passage as such that the poor man's wisdom was totally rejected by the city. In fact, in the translation notes of the New American Standard, the word delivered there in verse 15 can also be translated, could have delivered. If that's the case, the idea is that the wise man could have delivered the city. His wisdom would have led to their salvation, but none of the people paid any attention to him. In fact, verse 17 even seems to suggest that a ruler with a loud mouth is the one who got all of the attention. God's wisdom is what humanity, and listen, here's the point that Solomon's getting at here. The wisdom of God is what humanity so desperately needs in a backwards world, but his wisdom goes unheeded and is even popularly rejected. And Jesus even talked about this very thing, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many, but the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There's a vast multi-lane superhighway that the majority of humanity is careening down, because it's the easy way, it's the way that seems to make sense, humanly speaking, but it leads to destruction. And the way that leads to life is the narrow way, the obscure way, the way that often goes unheeded, the way that's rejected by the masses. It's the way it is with God's wisdom often and man's wisdom. And Solomon mentions how wisdom really needs to be prioritized. The wisdom of God needs to be prioritized in order for life to even begin to remotely make sense in a backwards world. You'll see what he says there in verses 16 and 17. He says, wisdom is better than might. In other words, God's wisdom is better than man's weapons. Even though the poor man's wisdom is despised, even though his words are not heard, the words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. One person said it this way, the insights of Scripture, heard in the inner self, quietly before God alone, are more effective in solving problems than worldly rhetoric. Better than the ideas of a prominent opinion maker who says things that are popular but are totally contrary to Scripture. You know, the loudest voices tend to be the voices that get quoted, that get retweeted, that get captioned, and yet they're not always the wisest voices, are they? Those who have the most followers aren't always the ones who should be followed. But in a backwards world, this is most often the case. And let me tell you something. There is more wisdom coming from the forgotten pulpits and unknown preachers this morning across our country than you'll find being broadcast by all of the major news networks. The irony of our time is seen in the contrast between the professor who's sitting in the classroom searching for wisdom and the janitor just down the hallway who's had it all along. The loudest voices aren't always the wisest voices. The most popular ideas are not always the wisest ideas. And just because someone has the microphone doesn't mean they have anything to say. Amen. And you look at verse 18, Solomon says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Which, by the way, that's the irony of human history, isn't it? I mean, we live in a world that's backwards from the way that it ought to be, and we know it's all because of sin. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and on and on and on it goes. And so I need a wisdom then to be able to see life through gospel lens. How do I live my life in a world that's backwards? In a world in which all of us are subject to time and chance under the sun, how do I live in such an unpredictable world where trouble is unforeseen, where wisdom from God is often undervalued? Well, for starters, you need to know that the world doesn't applaud the wisdom of God. The creature is in rebellion to the Creator, and God's wisdom will always be out of step with man's wisdom because the wisdom of God points out the error in man's thinking. God's wisdom humbles man's world and turns it on its head. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so here's what God does. God gives us backwards wisdom for life in a backwards world. And you think about this passage and the story that the preacher tells here of the wise man who saved the city by his wisdom. This serves as a fitting analogy of Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, think about it. Though he was rich, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. That's backwards wisdom. Wisdom that doesn't make sense. And throughout his ministry in the city of man, the Son of God had nowhere to lay his head. And yet by his wisdom, he delivered the city of fallen, lost humility. And Isaiah the prophet writes about this in Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53. God says, behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. Even so, he will sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. In Adam, one sinner destroyed much good. Satan had come against the city of man with all of the powers of hell and death, but Jesus Christ delivered me, not with any army, but all by himself. And he did it by means of which, means that just seemed to appear so very foolish in the eyes of the world. Something that seems so backwards to conventional thinking. Jesus saved the city of lost humanity by dying on a rugged cross, being buried in a borrowed tomb, and rising again from the grave on the third day. It's not by might, not by strength, but by my power, says the Lord of hosts. So let me tell you something. In a backwards world, God has backwards wisdom. The wisest decision that you will ever make in your life is to repent of your sin, place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and believe the backwards wisdom of God called the gospel.